The high stakes moment is coming. Presentation, boardroom, speech. It might be days away, but the fear is here now. Tonight, in bed, your heart racing, sweating. They can see it in your face, hear it in that quiver in your voice. You get tongue-tied, you freeze. They're judging you, repulsed by your performance. And of course, none of this is true. You're just lying in bed. And part of you pleads with the fear. Please, just this once, don't be there when I walk in. Welcome to The Introverted Leader. It's a podcast helping introverted leaders embrace your underrated, quiet strengths so you can get promoted and start earning what you deserve. I'm Greg Weinger. I have over 25 years of leadership experience, and yes, I am an introvert. This is the Minisode. It's a short weekly episode where I pull one key insight from this week's guest interview, layer in my own perspective, and make it practical for you. So here's something we rarely hear talked about when it comes to visibility. When the leaders we admire step into the room, they're not doing it without fear. Even experienced leaders feel fear. Their pulse quickens, the breathing shallows. The difference is they're ready for it. They've learned to manage this before. Because you don't completely get rid of fear. You learn to work with it, to tame it, even befriend it. This part was super unintuitive for me. Confidence does not replace fear. They coexist. Courage is feeling the fear and acting anyway. Confidence is a funny thing. For some people, confidence just comes easy because it's not grounded in reality. People are lying to themselves. If you're like me as an introvert, you're too introspective to believe your own bullshit. You can't believe your lies. And so confidence comes from something different. It comes from belief built through experience that you can rely on yourself and that you can handle these situations. One thing I find fascinating, one of the all-time great basketball players, Wilt Chamberlain, used to throw up before every game. He felt incredible nerves to the point where his teammates would get nervous if for some reason he didn't throw up before a game. Were they going to win? This is the part we don't see. And the confident leader who walks into the room has mastered the fear, not in the sense of getting rid of it. They have learned to live with it. A few years ago, I had to present to a board in Palm Springs. These were sharp, pretty intense, clever people who asked good questions and expected really good answers. And to be clear, this wasn't new for me. I'd led teams, run meetings, I've been in this situation before. But this particular situation had me worried. I was feeling the stakes in my body. And it was not just the feeling, it was the relentless mental chatter. Was I prepared enough? Did I know the topics cold? What if they challenged me and I didn't have the answer? I woke up at 3 a.m. with this. I lay awake for hours. And that morning, I went outside, and this wasn't a technique. I just got up, I started walking, and I started going uphill more and more and came out on a trail. I got up to the top, to this level where I was able to look out across the valley of Palm Springs, saw the sky, felt the morning sun on my face, and something shifted in me. Suddenly, the fear was there. I could feel it, but it was surrounded by something different. This wasn't a mental thing. It was something I felt. And I ended up bringing this feeling down with me. I walked down and the fear was there. It didn't go away, but it was surrounded. When I gave the presentation, I did well. I held my own. I mean, nothing spectacular, no fireworks. But, you know, people did notice. And I felt this was an incredible accomplishment for me. And it wasn't what happened in the room. It was what I had done with that fear. I wasn't trying to be someone else. I was still me. I still had that part that was fearful, but it was surrounded. It was protected. And I felt confident. You don't shrink the fear. You expand the container around it. So you don't make it disappear. And the harder you try, frankly, the bigger it gets. So start embracing it, engulf it. When I talked to Melita Campbell, she's author of Shy Girl's Guide to Networking and creator of the Value Whispering Method, she said something that speaks directly to this.
So you got the vision, intention, C was the confidence. So what can I do to build my confidence? So bit by bit, and it starts with understanding that confidence comes afterwards, because I was kind of waiting for that confidence and then realized, no, it starts with courage. You take courageous action and then the confidence builds. So that realization really helped me.
What Melita is naming here, that courage comes first and the confidence follows, is the same truth from a different angle. You're not waiting for the fear to disappear. You move and confidence builds. That container expands by acting. And here's the connection to this week's episode with Linda McGurk. It's no coincidence that my insight here and my improved performance came about by being out in nature, outdoors under an open sky. Linda explains how Scandinavian people built their culture around this wisdom. So here's what I want you to try next time you feel that moment come up where you're postponing, avoiding, dreading, ruminating in your mind. Take a break, step outside, figure out a way to shift your perspective. Could be 10 minutes. Get to a park, take a walk, climb a tree, take a look at the sky. Feel what that feels like in your body. Remember that. Just get somehow a different perspective on the room that you've been sitting in. And go back in. Again, it isn't mental. It's a reset that takes you back into the present moment. If this idea of being outside in nature resonated with you, take a listen to my conversation with Linda McGurk this week. Linda gets into the science of how nature restores our attention, steadies our nervous system, and supports the kind of presence that introverted leaders need. I'm Greg Weinger. Keep leading with quiet confidence, and I'll see you next time.